We come now to the fourth Sunday in Lent. It's March 27 of 2022. Let's pray. Most gracious Lord, we need your Holy Spirit. Without this, we cannot hear you. We cannot understand you. We cannot see you. We cannot know you. We cannot follow you. Then let your Holy Spirit put words in my mouth from you, and let our hearts be ready to receive them. Amen. Our gospel today is the parable of the prodigal son. My oldest boy, Ryan, moved outside of Philadelphia, right next to Lancaster County in Pennsylvania, which of course is Amish country. And I have always been fascinated by the Amish. And so I bought some books and read up on them. And some of it was interesting and some of it was difficult, sad. The Amish will allow that no one should have an assurance of their salvation. The only way they're going to know if they're saved is after they die, that they go into God's presence and hear the verdict. This is why they have this work ethic. They work, in a sense, for their salvation. They have to earn it. And they're not the only people that do that. Other major religious denominations teach the same. And I have to tell you, in all humility, that that's entirely wrong. The New Testament is very clear that we should have an assurance of salvation. Paul writes in Romans 5, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Once we were enemies, but now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And again in Romans 5, this hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, somebody might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then in Romans chapter 8, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who trust in Christ Jesus. Peace, a knowledge of the love of God, because Christ died for us when we were still sinners, and there is no condemnation. So I might ask at the very beginning, what do you know of your standing before God today? Do you have confidence and an assurance in your salvation? The Christian comes to worship God secure and rejoicing in the salvation they have before God. This is why we can come before God at all. All the way through Scripture, the theme is spoken of. Look at our psalm for today, Psalm 32. It begins, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him." You see, this describes the man who trusts in the atonement of Christ. The covering of his sins by the blood of the sacrifice. Even in the Old Testament, they looked forward to the cross of Christ. And the psalmist goes on to say, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Doesn't that remind you of somebody else? Doesn't that remind you of the prodigal son who we find in today's gospel? He leaves his father, lives in sin, and ends up miserable, alone, and starving. And suddenly you read, he comes to his senses. And then we read in Luke chapter 15, when he came to his senses, he said, well, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here am I, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Perhaps at this point you can see that every true Christian is a prodigal. Every true Christian is one who realizes the effect of sin upon their life and who is given an assurance of God's love and forgiveness and who therefore comes back to God, trusting in the atoning work of the Lord Christ done upon the cross. The parable of the prodigal son is actually number three in a series of teaching that Jesus gives. He starts with that of the lost sheep, goes on to the lost coin, and finishes with the prodigal son. All three show a great truth very clearly, that God loves sinners. He loves sinners. He doesn't love their sins. He doesn't love them as they currently are, but he loves them as he meant them to be. Children of God, instead of what they are now, children of wrath. And the Lord gives these parables in response to the Pharisees who complain that he consorts with sinners. At the end of the lost sheep and the lost coin, he says, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who does not need to repent. And of the lost coin, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Not only does he teach that God loves sinners, but also that these self-righteous Pharisees are so blind to their own sin that they think they are, quote, righteous, unquote. They are just like the older son in the parable of the prodigal. My dear people, we are all prodigals. We are all sin-sick unto death. Perhaps you will remember when Jesus invited himself to the house of Levi, a tax collector, the uber sinner. He invited himself for dinner. And so we read in Luke 5, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. Of course, tax collectors are the very worst of the worst, the very dregs of sinful society.
But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And let us be clear, there are no righteous people. The New Testament is crystal clear. It says no one is righteous. No, not one. It says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So how then shall we return to God? Well, when Jesus died, the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That veil symbolized the separation of man from God because of sin. Now, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, the way is open. Our sins are atoned for. Our sins are covered. When we trust in Christ for salvation, we come before God clothed not in our righteousness, thank God, but in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul writes in today's epistle reading from 2 Corinthians 5. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And a little later on, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. How many of us are glad of that? Not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you remember what I read earlier? That while we were yet sinners, while we were ungodly, while we were enemies of God, while we were powerless to help ourselves, Christ died for us. God grant that you will know this, that you will have an assurance of your salvation, that you will be able to come to God in repentance and be reconciled to God, knowing that he will receive you if you come thus. May you receive an assurance of your salvation, an assurance of God's love, an assurance above all that you have passed from death to life, from being a child of wrath to now being a child of God. Amen.